Welfare groups continue to argue against the planned government funding cuts to the social services sector that were announced in the May budget last year. As we've been discussing with the minister earlier, social services is the largest federal government department, accounting for a third of total budget expenditure. It was announced that spending on the social services sector would be cut by more than $240 million over 4 years, and that sparked fears that many of the most vulnerable people in our society will be left without support. This debate has gone on and on, and now, with just over 4 months to go before the current round of funding dries up, many of these services are still in funding limbo. It's not even clear to those in the sector exactly where the cuts are happening, and critically, what that will mean for frontline services. To talk more about this, we're joined this morning by Frank Quinlan, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Mental Health Australia. Sarah Toohey is the Acting CEO of the Council for Homeless Persons, and Liana Buchanan is the Executive Officer of the Federation of Community Legal Services. Welcome all of you to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Good morning, Fran.
Good morning.
It seems clear that the government needs to make savings, and it is looking to do that in part by cuts to social services funding. That was clear in the budget. What is less clear is how this is going to happen. Can I ask each of you, Sarah, I'll start with you, to explain how you understand some of the cuts are going to come from the sector you represent, the homelessness sector.
So what happened at the end of last year, which was part of that $240 million you talked about, Fran, was that all three peak bodies in Australia that work on housing and homelessness issues were defunded. Now, that doesn't have an immediate impact on people experiencing homelessness, but over the long term, it means that their voice in Canberra and their voice to elected representatives at the national level is greatly diminished.
So all those peak bodies are defunded?
All three peak bodies have been defunded. I guess the medium-term implication for us is that there is a very big national partnership agreement on homelessness that's due to expire in June. That's $115 million, and it funds programs for women and children fleeing family violence, people who are currently sleeping rough, young people leaving out of home care. Now, if we don't have that agreement refunded, about 80,000 people getting assistance in Australia will be left without help they need and potentially experience homelessness longer or fall into homelessness more regularly.
Okay, Liana, can I ask you, in your sector, in terms of community legal centres, have you already seen these cuts put into place, and have you had the similar impact there that Sarah was explaining about the peak bodies being defunded?
So in the legal assistance space, the Commonwealth didn't fund any peak bodies to begin with.
Right,
so there's been less of an impact there. Instead, really the funding cuts are hitting direct services. So we learnt in December 2013 that the government planned to cut $43 million across the whole of the legal assistance sector. That includes community legal centres, Aboriginal legal centres, Aboriginal family violence legal services, and a little bit from legal aid. Then in the budget last year, we learnt some of the detail of that. So what is happening now is 60 centres across the country are facing cuts beginning 1 July this year. So they're in the process of having to lay off lawyers and close down outreach offices in outer suburban areas and regional areas where there's no other access to free legal help.
Can I ask you, $43 million across the nation doesn't sound like a lot. What kind of budget are you dealing with?
Look, $43 million is across the whole of the legal assistance sector. So if we just talk about community legal centres for a minute, the quantum of the cuts is actually really small. So we're looking at 25% of Commonwealth funding being cut between now and 2017-18. That's only $12 million. But when you're looking at services that already run on the smell of an oily rag and already struggle to meet demand, that means that there are going to be more people who have to be turned away who have really no other option for getting legal help for their really serious legal issues.
Okay. Frank Quinlan, what about in the mental health area? Have there been cuts as a result of these budget cuts to social services? I know you had some good news yesterday in your area.
Indeed, we did have good news yesterday, Fran. The situation in mental health is one that I'd describe as a bit of policy paralysis. So at the moment, we're, I don't believe, facing cuts. We've had the National Mental Health Commission conduct a review of mental health, and we're waiting for the government to release that report so we can plan our future. But we also have the implementation of the National Disability Insurance Scheme proceeding. And what that's meant is that organisations delivering mental health services in the community find themselves in this uncertain position where government policy is unclear in many areas beyond July the 1st, and so a whole lot of decisions about a whole lot of programs that we actually don't expect to be cut, most we would expect to continue, are uncertain, but nonetheless those decisions aren't made, and so, you know, workforce make their own decisions about that. We did have Minister Fifield only yesterday announce an important extension of funding to programs like the Personal Helpers and Mentors program, and that was gave really welcome sort of short-term certainty. But as we've spoken about before, Fran, this sort of 12-month funding cycle means that here we are in February talking about, you know, the end of life of programs that are due to begin in July.
Well, that's true. And last year we spoke to a number of services, and Frank, you included, about that kind of limbo. It seems now, though, that the government did, before Christmas, signal, yes, okay, you've had your funding cut, but there seems to have been a bit of a change of heart with the new minister coming in and some lobbying from MPs. Sarah, Leanna, Frank, I invite any of you to chip in here, whether you've been getting, what sort of contact you've been having with local members about the impact of these services closing, whether you can see and feel that there is a sort of a political momentum that might be forcing a change of heart in Canberra.
If I might jump in, Fran, only because we had just last week 90 of our members came to Parliament House here in Canberra, and with all that was happening in Parliament House Canberra last week, we were half expecting that there might have been some very distracted MPs and senators, but nonetheless we had 48 MPs and senators agree to meet with delegates from the mental health sector. And by all the reports from those delegates, there was a very strong sense of engagement across all the parties represented here, because I think local members see those services delivering to their local communities and see the impact of the sort of uncertainty that we're talking about. So we've actually been quite encouraged by the engagement that we've had very recently, and I guess we're just hoping that we can turn that into some more decisions that will give a bit more certainty ultimately to the people who experience these programs and who often rely on them.
Leanna, have you had similar feedback or contact with MPs?
We've certainly had lots of contact with local members mm-hmm. who are really concerned about the impact these cuts will have. They see the work that the centres do in the local communities. They see the incredibly vulnerable, disadvantaged people who they know will have nowhere else to go. So at a local member level, there's incredible support. What we haven't seen is any indication from either the Attorney General or the Prime Minister to shift position, and that includes in the context of us raising the impact these services will have on victims of family violence. So mm-hmm. we had the Australian of the Year just a couple of weeks ago voicing her support for the work that community legal centres do. In Victoria, where I'm based, one in every three cases that community legal centres take on is a case helping a woman to get a family violence intervention order. So there's no question that these cuts are going to have really diabolical impact. The local members are very supportive of our cause and the work that we do. We're just not seeing any indication that that support carries right up to the top.
Sarah, we were speaking earlier on the program to the Social Services Minister, Scott Morrison, about this notion of the government's plan to kick young people off the dole for 6 months. That was announced in the last budget. It's been very contentious. There was a suggestion that Scott Morrison and the government are going to move back from that from policy. The minister said he is that policy remains the government policy on the table, but he's open to ideas for change. Let's have a listen.
We need to do things that encourage people into work and get them to stay in work from an early age. That's the issue that we need to address. Now, if crossbenchers and others have other suggestions about how this outcome can be achieved, and we can do that consistent with what we need to do with the budget, then I'm all ears.
That was the Minister speaking to us earlier. So, Sarah, in your area of homelessness, obviously there's a crossover here with a policy change like this, but the government needs to make savings. The welfare budget is a huge element of the federal budget, and there will need to be money saved there over the short term and the long term. Are you heartened by any of the sounds you're hearing from the minister there? And have you been putting to the government other ideas for how to make these savings?
We are incredibly heartened to hear a sort of what sounds like a change of direction on youth allowance. We already see around 40% of people experiencing homelessness in Victoria are under the age of 25. Some of those are children with their parents, but about 26,000 are between the age of 12 and 24. Cutting those people off income for any period of time would have a devastating impact. In terms of savings to government, I don't think we can be looking at an area that's already not very well funded, if you talk about homelessness services, for overall budget savings. So across Australia, around $500 million goes to homelessness services from state and federal governments a year. That's minuscule in terms of the budget and the deficit. We need to be looking at other kind of long-term sustainable things like superannuation tax breaks, where we give tax concessions to housing and those kinds of things. If we have to look at the welfare budget, it's not young people who actually take up the chunk of that, nor is that unemployed people. The age pension is actually the far biggest welfare outlay, and that's one of the reasons driving the increase in welfare spending. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's where we need to cut either. We actually need to be looking at other areas of the budget that don't impact on people's ability to live day to day.
Sarah Toohey, Leanna Buchanan, Frank Quinlan, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Frank Quinlan is CEO of Mental Health Australia. Sarah Toohey is the acting CEO of the Council for Homeless Persons. And Leanna Buchanan is the executive officer of the Federation of Community Legal Services. Just some of the groups waiting for the government to clarify where those cuts, $240 million over 4 years, it was announced in the budget, the last budget, would be cut from these services. They're still waiting to hear what that means for their budgets, living, as we heard there, 12 months to 12 months. And the government seems to be revising some of the plan changes. So watch this space, I think, for budget number two coming up in May.